Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The following is a presentation of the Belly Up Sports Media Network.
Here's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show. We're back. That's right. Fantasy baseball is back, and we're excited to bring you the first episode of the year. And we're talking fantasy impact for Shohei Ohtani with his new home and Mike Trout without Ohtani, MLB news, offseason moves, and prospects who will have an fantasy impact this season. That's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show.
Play ball.
Welcome in to an all new edition of the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show, the relief show for all Cowboys fans who are trying to get their minds off of football. We are bringing you baseball. That's right. Baseball is here and the fantasy baseball season just around the corner, and the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show has you covered. Today's episode presented by Righteous Felon Jerky and SeatGeek. That's right. Looking forward to what's ahead. Each Sunday night, with the exception of Super Bowl Sunday, I will be bringing you this show and giving you fantasy rankings and MLB news and all kinds of stuff going on. And I'll be joined each and every week, or at least the large majority of those weeks, by the senior fantasy writer from BellyUpSports.com, the one and only Kevin Wilson, who joins us now. Hey, Kev, how you doing, man?
You know, we're doing great here, Vince. And I'm doing great. I don't know about anyone else in this Dallas area. Might be a little depressed, but you know, we're in the midst of our first hard freeze of the season.
Yeah.
Over here in North Texas. So if we could talk about a little baseball and bring some, you know, some spring thoughts into people's minds, that'll be great. And I'm certainly ready for the season. And I come in, I'm ready. I got my Rangers World Series shirt. I got my Rangers watch right there, World Series. And I got somewhere around here, I got my Rangers World Champion book. And right over there on the corner is a poster of champions of baseball Rangers. So we're pretty jazzed over here to get the baseball season started. So, we're pretty happy in this house, especially because we're not Cowboy fans. That helps. So we are ready to get going here.
Yeah, so it is stinking cold here. We are going to be below 20 all day tomorrow. Supposed to have snow coming in. I'm preaching a funeral tomorrow morning, and sitting up watching the football game here just a few minutes ago. I'm freezing my tail off in the house. So I got me some coffee brewed right here and my Christmas mug, Milwaukee Brewers Christmas mug. Okay. The heartache of the Brewers is softened by the success of the Packers right now. And we'll see how it shakes down. But baseball season is right around the corner. It's hard to believe. Yep. I mean, it's January. Typically in the past, we started this show in February. I'm already catching some flack for why in the world are you doing a show during the wild card game? Well, first of all, it's the Lions. We know they're going to lose, so there's no reason to watch it. Second of all, baseball fans like baseball, no matter what else is going on.
That's right.
And of course, if they're not watching live, they can always tune in later, catching it on the Belly Up Sports YouTube page, the Sports Stove Podcast YouTube page, the Fantasy Belly Up Sports, Belly Up Fantasy Sports, excuse me, Facebook page, or wherever you get your audio downloads for your podcast, Apple, Spotify. It's all available on the Sports Stove Podcast feed. So, I mean, it'll be all right. You don't have to tune in live if you don't need to.
That's right. It'll be live. You know, it'll be all right. And because the very first day of the year, I dropped my very first fantasy baseball article.
That's right.
So I am ready to go. And so if you, we'll talk about some stuff later, I'm sure. But Belly Up Fantasy, you know, website, get over there. I talk about some stuff. And we'll probably cover a little bit of that here. But so I'm ready for some baseball.
I am too, man. I'll tell you what. Actually, when I started doing the prep for this program a couple weeks ago, I started to just get that fever. Monday, I talked with the EKU baseball coach, Chris Prothrow, on the Sports Stove Local Hour, and I got so amped for baseball. I mean, I was ready to go. Granted, so I'm a huge Packer fan. I'm a massive Packer fan. Right. And I've been as real as I can be about the Packers this year. You know, I did not have high expectations. I thought 8 to 9 wins was definitely possible, a playoff spot, a possibility. And I thought they could beat the Cowboys today, but I was not getting my hopes up. Like, I was trying to temper myself. Well, now I got to kind of refocus on football because of what happened tonight in the football game. But that's I'm right. All in on baseball as well.
Something to talk about this Wednesday, yes. I'm sure.
Yes. Yes, we will. But tonight's all about baseball, and we will not talk football anymore tonight because we are excited about the fantasy baseball season and the regular baseball season and all that good stuff. So we're going to start off with our first segment of the day, which we like to call our fantasy burner. This season, the Fantasy Burner is presented by SeatGeek. Are you going to a ball game, a concert, or anything else you need to buy a ticket for? You can get it at SeatGeek.com. If you use the code BELLYUPSPORTS, you're going to get $20 off your first purchase there on SeatGeek.com. So make sure you go check out SeatGeek.com, find the available seats and all different price ranges. Use that code BELLYUPSPORTS. You're going to get $20 off your first purchase from SeatGeek. And of course, we're so thankful for Belly Up Sports, not just Belly Up Fantasy Sports, but also BellyUpSports.com and the crew over at Belly Up. Even if they do think we're crazy for live streaming during a wild card football game, we're still pleased to bring it to you, and we're thankful for SeatGeek helping out as well. So each week, what we like to do, if you're new to the program,
here it is, Vince.
You found your book.
So there it is.
So, all right. Like we'll hopefully we'll see your Ohtani Dodgers jersey a little bit later as well.
Yeah, I'm sure that's probably, you know, on order.
Okay. So the fantasy season during the year, throughout the year on this program, our first segment will be the fantasy burner, which is just simply a quick fantasy topic. We'll cover more fantasy at the end of each program. And we sandwich Major League Baseball news in between. So this is our fantasy burner segment. Today, what I wanted to talk about, Kevin, was the fantasy impact for Ohtani and Trout. Obviously, they've been together. They've kind of protected each other in the lineup to some degree as well, even though there's been major injuries with Trout throughout the years. Now Trout's kind of on his own in Los Angeles or Anaheim, and Ohtani goes to the Dodgers, which are stacked at the top of the lineup. They're not as deep as people are pretending they are. No. And Ohtani will not be pitching this year. So that's a major fantasy impact. So let's start with Ohtani, because obviously he's the big news of the offseason, signing with the Dodgers to a massive yet weird contract. And but who cares about that right now? We might talk about that in the next segment. But let's talk about the fantasy impact that Ohtani has. He goes from being the clear-cut number one overall draft pick in fantasy to now being a questionable kind of where does he land situation. And we'll talk about this some with rankings in the weeks to come too. But when you look at Ohtani and where he's at now with the Dodgers, he'll hit, you know, I would assume, in the top three of the lineup, either second or third. And again, good people around him. So how relevant is Ohtani this year in fantasy baseball?
I would say, just simply due to the fact he's not pitching, as you mentioned, he's abdicated that number one draft spot. But, you still got to put him in the top 10 at the very least, maybe top five, just because he's got that 40 home run potential.
Yeah.
And he is a left-handed hitter. And so, and he's going to be, as you mentioned, that top half of that lineup is pretty solid. You got, however they hit him, you got Betts and you got Freeman. And then they signed, what's his name from Seattle, which I'm not sure how big I am on that just yet. But they got Will Smith is a good hitting catcher in there. So their top of their lineup is solid. The other half, as you mentioned, is a little questionable to me. And so he's definitely in the top 10 at least. So if I'm in somewhere in the first round, you could probably talk me into taking him. And if you're in Dynasty, you better hang on to him because obviously he'll pitch again. And he'll go right back to being the player that he's, you know, pitching, hitting, and all that. So I definitely would say you got to take him out of the number one spot because that clearly belongs to Acuna. But after that, and I think Soto's number two. After that, you could argue he could slot in anywhere in there.
Yeah, right now Fangraphs has the projected lineup to be Betts, Otani, Freeman, Smith as your top four. Right. Muncy, Outman, Teoscar Hernandez, who's the name you're trying to come up with, and Jason Hayward, Gavin Lux to round it out. Yeah. It's a left-handed heavy lineup. Yeah, Betts, Smith, and Hernandez, the only right-handers if they go with that lineup. Of course, there's Austin Barnes, the backup catcher, Miguel Rojas. Chris Taylor and Manuel Margot as well, currently on the roster. And that can still change. I mean, there's still potential for them to add pieces to this lineup as they go. I agree with you. I think Otani, right now, I'd probably put him top three in fantasy drafts. A chance I would put him at two, but I can safely say I'd have him in the top three right now. In just a standard drafts as opposed to Dynasty. He shouldn't even be available in Dynasty
League. No.
If he, that means you're starting a brand new Dynasty League if he is available, and you want to take him number one in that case.
That's right. I would say. Long as if he is one player.
Yeah, right.
If he is one player, he's the number one pick, regardless of what kind of draft we're talking about, other than redraft for this year.
Right. Yeah. And if you have to draft them separately, which this year won't matter, so we won't even bother with that at the moment. Mm-hmm. But yeah, nonetheless, listen, the Dodgers are going to have a good team. They've added a lot through the pitching as well. Yamamoto, of course, also. Glasnow comes over. Walker Buehler will start to get healthy. Bobby Miller, who pitched decent last year as well. They're going to have a good team. They could still add Josh Hader possibly in a relief role as well. So, they're going to be good no matter what. I just don't think that they're as offensively gifted as people are acting. Like, they're like, oh, look at this lineup. And they always just show Betts, Otani, Freeman, and Smith, and they don't show anybody else. But yes, it's a good lineup. I'm not saying it's definitely not the worst lineup out there. But it is top heavy. But how does that affect Otani's fantasy? Honestly, it doesn't a whole lot. He's still going to get his hits. If he's hitting behind Betts and in front of Freeman, I mean, it's not like they can just walk the guy. There's going to be plenty of fantasy value there. I agree with you, Kev. I think he's probably a top three pick, up there still at the top of the draft. Acuna seems to be the clear cut favorite to go number one, which scares me if I'm drafted number one.
Yeah. If I'm number one, I'm taking Acuna all day long. How could you argue about any of his stats? I didn't put pen to paper, however you want to look at it, to argue that he's the number one pick, because there's no arguing that. I did say about who would be number two, which I say is Juan Soto. I like him in that lineup over there, hitting left-handed in New York. So if I'm number two, even though he's disappointed in San Diego, I think he turns that around big time in New York.
I'm not ready to give up my rankings just yet, but I probably agree with you.
That's not saying a whole lot, and that's not a whole lot of
not a big spoiler there.
Right.
All right. Let's talk about Mike Trout, who, man, you talk about the one good thing they had going for him was they had Ohtani and Trout. And I'm looking right now, again, I'm looking at Fangraphs. So the projected lineup is Luis Rengifo. I always forget how to pronounce his name.
I don't know how to pronounce that. And he could do some fantasy stuff for you. But
he can, but he's not Ohtani. They got Trout batting second, Brandon Drury, Taylor Ward, Anthony Rendon, Mickey Moniak, Logan Ohapi, Nolan Shanuel, and Zach Nato. Oh boy. What is this? I mean, Trout, let's talk about Trout without, first of all, standalone Trout. He has dropped from a top pick to a top five pick to a late first rounder to now third rounder. Like where is Trout stand? Even if he had, you know, Ohtani still on the team.
You know what? I was thinking that Mike Trout has gone from being, as you mentioned, almost a must-have player to being a player that I don't want anything to do with. Unless he falls lower than the third round.
Really?
Then maybe I could be talked into him but you take that injury history, which is glaring. And then that lineup that you just mentioned is a second division lineup. No question about it. There's some players that have some value, but they're not, they'd be batting all those guys, but Trout would be batting in the bottom of somebody's lineup.
Yeah.
So I don't like him in that lineup at all. I think the whole team takes a big, huge step backwards. How could they not? And so Mike Trout, I'll let somebody else, you know, take him and then let that be their problem. I'm not going to have anything to do.
The way I look at Trout is, again, it all depends on how the first two rounds go. But if he's there in my third round pick, I would think I would take him there. I don't think I could take him in the second round. I think right now his ADP is late second round. But I've heard a lot of people talking about him going into the third round, which I think makes sense. I'm not sure his value is a second round value anymore. But I'd be willing to take him in the third round again. And now if I hadn't selected a pitcher yet going into the third round, then I probably would go pitcher over that. Depending on where it sits and everything. But to me, third round grade makes sense for Trout. And if he's there in the fourth, you know I'm sweeping him up. I mean, that's, you know, how that shakes down at the end of the day. But he has no protection. Again, and I hate that I forgot how to pronounce this guy's name. Rengifo.
That's as close as I could come.
It's a weird pronunciation. Now I can't remember. Anyways. And listen, we'll apologize. First episode of the season, we're going to mispronounce names. Get over it.
Right.
And move on. You'll know who we're talking about and we'll know who we're talking about. And that's all that matters. But, there's very little protection. Maybe Taylor Ward wakes up and has a great season. I mean, I'm off on Rendon. I refuse to draft Rendon in any.
No, he's a bigger injury risk.
Yeah.
Than Trout is. Good point. Something.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I don't like their lineup. I don't like it at all. Individually, I could see because I've had. Okay, I'm going to try it. Rengifo. Just say it. Okay, I don't know. I've had him on my fantasy team, and he's actually done some things.
Yeah.
And Drury, I've had him on my fantasy because he plays every position there is.
Right.
So he's got fantasy value, but that's later in the draft.
Right.
Certainly. And nobody you're taking anywhere up. Any close to the top of any draft or even the middle to me. So I don't like it. And fourth round, I could be talked into that maybe. But if you third round and you're ahead of me, you go ahead and take them. If you're behind me, I'll let you take
them. Yeah.
I'll just put it that way.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Who had the greater impact this offseason? Meaning with the move, does Ohtani have a greater positive impact for his fantasy value? Or with Ohtani moving, does Trout have the worse impact as a negative impact versus positive? But who was impacted more by the Ohtani move? Ohtani for the positive or Trout for the negative?
I think it's Trout for the negative. Just as we mentioned, the lineup protection is not there, no matter who was batting second, third, whatever. And so his stats are going to suffer. How, you know, he's not going to have the guys on base. He's not going to have, you know, any of that protection, scoring runs, all of that. So I think it's a huge negative for Mike Trout, unfortunately, because talent wise, he's still one of the top players in baseball, but it's not looking good to me in Anaheim all the way around.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's enough of a bump for Ohtani to make him the larger, being impacted larger, just because I think he's kind of steady. I think he is what he is, and going to LA is not going to hurt him for sure. I don't think it helps him greatly either, whereas Trout, I mean, it just hurts him. You know, you think about how invisible Trout has been over his career being with the Angels, and now all the publicity they've had the last 2 years has been Shohei Ohtani, and I think people are going to forget about Mike Trout again, which means there might be leagues you get Trout in the fifth round just because people are kind of like, oh, no, I'm off on him. And I think that would be a steal if you get him that late in the draft.
Right. And if he winds up hurt, that then the sting won't be as bad. If right. You have to put him on your IL.
Yeah.
In the fifth round, you could deal with that.
Yeah.
It'll still kind of sting a little bit, but not nearly as much if you take him in the second round,
yeah,
or even the third, and he winds up on the IL for 30 days or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You're going to have a huge hole in your lineup.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I still think late third round is where I would take him at, if he's there and I, you know, haven't already drafted two outfielders, then I might look at him late third round. But I don't know. We'll see how that one shakes down. That's the Fantasy Burner presented by SeatGeek. Again, go to SeatGeek.com. Use the code BELLYUPSPORTS at checkout. You're going to get $20 off your first purchase. Let's transition now to our call to the pen. Our call to the pen is presented again this year by Righteous Felon Jerky. It's time to join the flavor revolution, and you can do it at righteousfelon.com. Going to use the code STOVE15. That's STOVE15. You're going to get 15%. That's right. You heard me correctly. 15% off your purchase at righteousfelon.com. I've got some of my favorite flavors up here behind me. I have tried all but one flavor so far at Righteous Felon. Still need to get that one tasted, but I love Righteous Felon. I don't just say that because they support the program. I purchased Righteous Felon. The tenderness is incredible of the jerky. The flavor is very, very good. So righteousfelon.com, use the code STOVE15. That's 15% off your purchase. All right, we're going to use this segment for Major League Baseball.
That just listening to that call to the pen music.
Yeah.
That's enough reason to join our show, just that right there.
We want to thank our band members in the background here for striking up that music for sure. We're going to use this segment throughout the year as Major League Baseball news and opinions, and we'll talk through it throughout the year. Sometimes we'll have guests on as well during this segment. But let's start back. We've already kind of mentioned it at the beginning of the show, but the Rangers in five over the D-backs to win the World Series last year. And what a story for Texas. They had a great year, regular season. They started to falter towards the end of the regular season a little bit, and then they showed back up in the World Series in the playoffs. I'll tell you what, here was what shocked me. I just kept saying the pitching. There's no way the pitching is going to last, but they did. How's the feeling there in Texas about the Rangers now heading into a new year?
Well, right now, they're just trying to seem like they're basking in the glow, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And because Jordan Montgomery is still out there, and they're saying that they don't, at this point, have the money that they need to bring him back. And then the news came out that Scherzer won't be available till midseason at the earliest. So they're right back to pretty much the way things were at midseason when they didn't have enough pitching. They don't have it right now. There are question marks on their pitching staff because of injuries and the guys that are out there and the bullpen. They lost Will Smith, the other Will Smith, to Kansas City. So they have not made any real moves as of yet, but you got to think that some are going to come. And if Jordan Montgomery hangs out there a little bit longer, maybe they'll bring him back. I think that he's a pitcher that you want. He's pitched the last 3 years for the New York Yankees, then St. Louis, and then the Rangers. And he's been solid everywhere he's been. So he is a starter, and he's a lefty on top of it all. So he's a guy that you want in your lineup. It's just, can they budget in for him to come on board? So Chris Young, the general manager, or whatever his president of operations, whatever it is that he is, has shown that he can and will bring on pitching. He will certainly do that, I think, before next month gets here.
And pitching has been the talk of the offseason in many ways, at least in free agency and where that goes. And we'll talk about that more in a moment. But, I mean, there are less and less pitchers every day. So if you want your guy, you kind of got to go get him. There's some trade possibilities. Dylan Cease is still available via trade. I'm not sure what you had to give up to get him. But there's some options out there, but not a ton of good options left. Montgomery is definitely towards the top of the list. Let's see, the Dodgers. Listen, they made moves. Now let's start with this, because if we got people who are new to the program, Kevin lives in Texas and he has supported the Rangers in his time in Texas. But ultimately, Kevin, you're a Dodgers fan.
Right.
And I just don't want to confuse people because you're wearing all the Rangers stuff and right. everything like that. But you got the Dodgers flag behind you. So,
right. And so, all these moves that they made has made the Dodgers like the number one hate. You know, they're the Frankenstein monster of baseball.
Yeah.
Right now. And I don't know how many people I've heard say, well, there needs to be a salary cap in baseball, which I say phooey.
Yeah.
To that.
Yeah.
And I can prove that in just 10 seconds. Out of the last 10 years, you know how many champions there's been in baseball?
A bunch.
Nine.
Yeah.
The only team that has won two championships in that period is the Houston Astros. No other sport can make a claim like that. Certainly not basketball, not football, not hockey. So all this cap stuff, you can make an argument there needs to be a salary cap floor.
Sure.
So teams like the Pittsburgh Pirates just don't take money and then put it in their own pockets. But as far as being a cap is concerned, there's no need for that. Baseball, and this is in the early 2000s, there was a run of seven different champions in seven different years. So baseball, among all other sports, has the opportunity, because we're talking about the Kansas City Royals have a World Series championship in the last 10 years, right?
Yeah. Okay?
So
they fell apart afterwards, but yeah.
They fell apart afterwards, granted, but they made it to two World Series in a row.
Yeah.
So if you happen to be a fan, let's just say the Portland Trailblazers in the NBA, are they going to the NBA Finals? Do they have a shot? No, they do not. So all the people that are yelling for a salary cap can please shut up, okay?
Kindly, we ask.
Yeah, please. I don't want to, come out too strongly there. But as far as the Dodgers are concerned, Ohtani, exactly the way I predicted, the Angels would not trade him. They did not.
Right.
The Dodgers signed him, just as I said they would. And so it's not the Dodgers' fault that Ohtani wanted to, put off $680 million or whatever it is of his salary. That's not their fault. They didn't. That's his suggestion.
Yeah.
I will question them bringing Tyler Glasnow over with, because he's been hurt. And
yeah.
I'm not big, maybe, but I'm not one of those that are absolutely sold on him. And Yamamoto, if you sit there and tell me you know exactly what he's doing, you do not. He hasn't even thrown a pitch on American soil yet in a major league game. I do like the fact that he's 25.
Yeah.
Much younger than the other guys that have come over from Japan in the past. But if we're talking a little fantasy here, you have to take him if you're going to take him wherever you feel comfortable and just live with it. I think that where he's going, I'm going to take a more established pitcher to me than him. But, he could go 20-7, let's say.
Yeah.
Or, and if he's, let's say, like somebody like Senga from the New York Mets, you can live with that. And but just to be able to know what he's going to bring is an impossibility. So you just have to do your research and just wherever you feel comfortable, do it and live with it.
So I'm going to start with Glasnow. He last year pitched 120 innings, the most in his career. Right. 120 is not that many. No. In 2022, he pitched
42 innings short of qualifying for the ERA title.
Yikes. In 2022, he only pitched 6.2 innings. 21, he was 88 innings. 20, he was 57. 19, he was 60. In 2018, when he came over to the Rays from Pittsburgh, he pitched 111. So, listen, I like Tyler Glasnow. He's a good pitcher, obviously. Health is everything for him. And I don't think it was a bad move by any stretch of the imagination for the Dodgers. No. And they also added some outfield help as well with Margot. So, I mean, there was – I liked the move for the Dodgers, but – when I looked at it, my first thought was, man, Tyler Glasnow, man, what a move. But then I thought, wait a second, I can't draft him high because he's only going to give me half a season, and I'm going to need him for more than that. Now, if he's healthy for the playoffs, that's one thing, but more than likely he gets hurt and is out for the season, and I don't get him in the fantasy playoffs, and he ultimately does me no good whatsoever to have on my team. I don't know. I've not really dove in too deeply to ADPs yet. That being said, Glasnow's one that I'd have to think long and hard about when it comes to drafting him, just because I really don't think he's going to be around when I really, really need him.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was coming from. And there are plenty of pitchers who maybe don't have quite the ceiling that he does have, but their floors are significantly higher than his, I think. So if you're talking higher up in the draft, floors to me is where you need to make sure they've got a good, stable floor. And Tyler Glasnow doesn't have that to me.
Yeah. Now, I was surprised, Kevin. We haven't talked a lot this offseason. I figured you would be incredibly stoked about Yamamoto. You did mention that he's young, which is always nice.
That's nice. So at the end of a five-year deal or whatever it is they gave him, he's 30. Yeah. You can live with that. You don't have to worry about him being 38 years old at the end of the deal.
Fangraphs has him projected to pitch 184 innings, to go 12-9, to have a 9.78 strikeout over nine innings average, 3.98 ERA. How do you feel about him as far as, I don't know, I guess I would have thought you were going to be incredibly stoked, and you come across as actually kind of pessimistic on the Yamamoto sign. So, tell me from a fan side of things, not a fantasy side of things.
Okay, fan side of things. How you feel about him? You know, I'm still a little cautious.
Okay.
Because you know the Dodgers used to be known for being the pitching mecca of baseball, but you know Walker Buehler for one, he's been hurt. They've had some guys that have gone down, and so I don't know if. Maybe it's a Dave Roberts thing, and it seems like he gives them guys all, he pulls them out of games and whatever to try and protect their arms. But maybe something's just not clicking exactly to me when it comes to the Dodgers and pitching. It should be. And I want to be excited about it as a fan. I think who could possibly market against the Dodgers bringing Yamamoto and Ohtani into a ballpark? And so just that alone, they're gonna break in the dollars, and you know the Dodgers, they start the season over there in Korea this year, and so from that point on there's going to be dollar signs flowing all over the Dodgers and ad revenues and everything else and interest. So on that note, it made all the sense to just give him Yamamoto whatever he wanted, so because they're going to triple profits off of that alone. And so then that makes it so they can make other moves and get people more upset because Dodgers are adding players. So on that aspect of it, the Dodgers, hate them. I'm all cool with that. And just like Yankee fans were back in the day, when I just hope it's a different thing, because when the Yankees were most hated, they didn't win. So
yeah, that's true.
I hope that's a little different here.
Milwaukee made a little bit of news early in the offseason by signing 19-year-old Jackson Chirio to an 8-year, $82 million deal, a big deal for Milwaukee. Chirio's been raking in Double A last year. I mean, raking. And now there's talks that he makes the opening day roster and is playing on opening day in Milwaukee, which I'd be perfectly fine with as a Milwaukee fan. But it's dangerous, right, to sign a 19-year-old to this kind of deal.
Yeah, that seems the way the things are going. A lot of guys are signing their players so that they stay way, 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 way from arbitration, which I understand when Soto gets a $31 million one-year deal. So if I were you, I'd be really stoked.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about prospects a little bit later on. But I would certainly be excited to have him in my system. And I think that he's going to be on that major league roster to start the year.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's definitely going to be on it at some point. The start of the year is the big question mark. But I don't see why not. Why do you sign the dude to the contract and not let him play? I mean, you're talking about fighting with Weimer, who is entertaining but not great. Garrett Mitchell, who's steady and solid, but he's not Chirio. I mean, there's reasons to have him up there for sure. But one of the cautionary tales of young players is Wander Franco, who is in a whole bunch of legal mess out of the country. And no signs of him returning to baseball anytime soon, and a really good chance never again, at least at the major league level. And I mean, he's young, but she was younger, as they say. So Wander Franco is in a lot of trouble. How does that impact Tampa?
It has to impact you, because as you know, he is a solid player for them. He's a solid bat. He's young, as you say. And so Tampa, I give Tampa a wide berth, because they obviously know what they're doing. We had one of our guys write an article about them and question the way they do things, which was a surprise to me, because the Tampa way is the way to, if you're a team that gets 500 fans a game, you need to do things, other than the way the Dodgers and many other teams do. And so, but at some point, how is your talent pipeline going to replace somebody like him?
Sure.
And so, and Tyler Glasnow, even though he's been hurt or whatever, you knew that when he was on your roster, he could pitch. So Tampa might be in some trouble this year.
Yeah, I'm out on Tampa. Spoiler alert for later in the year. I am. Okay. And last year I just said, until they prove me, until they prove that they're not going to be that team, I'm going to have to keep picking them. And I feel comfortable now saying, listen, I mean, they're still going to be better than probably some people will give them credit for, but I don't think they're going to be that contender that they've been. And that being said, Tampa and the White Sox are the two teams that have been the most rumored to be moving to Nashville at some point down the road. We'll see if that shakes out. I know actually the White Sox most recently have been, ownership has been in Nashville meeting with people. That was before the meetings in Nashville. So we'll see how that one shakes out as well. Let's get to the offseason moves, Kevin. Okay. And I'm going to read off the pitchers that have been signed, and I probably missed some because I did do this several days ago. But Chris Sale to Atlanta, Lucas Giolito to Boston, Shelby Miller, Jack Flaherty, Kenta Maeda to Detroit, Seth Lugo, Michael Walker to Kansas City, Yamamoto and Glasnow to Dodgers, Ryan Jensen to Miami, Severino to the Mets. Let's see here. Sonny Gray, Kyle Gibson, and Lance Lynn. They're going old in St. Louis this year. And then Robbie Ray, who will not start the season as he's injured. He goes to San Francisco. And then someone else just signed in San Francisco. Do you remember who that was? Oh, no. Is it Hicks?
Let me see. Because I wrote all this down. San Francisco. No, I don't. Because I pretty much, when it comes to the Giants, are kind of like, second division. I know they're your dad's favorite, but
no, they just landed a guy.
Doing, I don't pay a whole lot of attention.
Hang on, I gotta look it up now. Jordan Hicks, that's who it is. Jordan Hicks from Toronto. Yeah.
Okay.
So a lot of pitchers off the board to start off the off season here. Like I said, there's not a ton that are left. Basically, you're looking at Snell, Montgomery. Let's see here. Stroman just signed with the Yankees, so he's off the board. Kershaw still available. Greinke's still available. And your boy Julio Urias, who had his charges dropped, which doesn't mean that he won't get suspended, because he probably will for 35 games maybe. That's just a guess. But he's out there as well. Has there been a pitching move or moves that have intrigued you this offseason?
Well, St. Louis struck right from the gate. And while I like Sonny Gray, I like him a lot, but Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson, I put up a big, huge red flag on those, because Lance Lynn gave up the most home runs in all of baseball last year. He was second in runs allowed and fifth in hits allowed. Then you come over here to Kyle Gibson, fifth most runs allowed and the fourth most hits in all of baseball. So that is not a step forward to me at all. So, and the Cardinals have been known to, you know, be a well-run, as you know, organization, but I don't know what in the world they're doing with either one of those two pitchers. I would not be big on either one of those. As I mentioned, Sonny Gray, 279 ERA, 32 starts. He gives you pretty much everything that you could possibly want in a pitcher. So I like that. But these other two guys, I would have left them in the pool.
So I'll counter that. I actually like it to a degree, at the very least. First of all, Sonny Gray, I love. Sonny Gray grew up right down the road from me, so I've always been a Sonny Gray fan. I was really hoping Milwaukee would go out and get him. They did not. But so you got Gray, Mikolas, Kyle Gibson, Lance Lynn, and Steven Motz as your pitching rotation. So there's a strategy here. Motz is 32. Gray's 34, Mikolas 35, Gibson and Lynn are both 36. They decided they're going to try to give experience a run this year and see if that can turn things around for them. I really like the Gray signing, like you said. I agree with you on that. And I think Gibson and Lynn, with their experience, I think there's potential here for they can kind of – the division's not strong. People are going to tell you Cincinnati's the team to watch.
No,
we'll get to that on another episode.
We'll be talking about them. You can be sure about
that. Yeah, we'll get to them on another episode. I told them last year at the All-Star break, I tried to warn Reds fans, don't get your hopes up. You're going to be disappointed. No one listened to me. No, we're going to the World Series. No, they weren't. Anyways, I actually like these moves by St. Louis. Could they have been better signings? Definitely. But I like the idea of saying, hey, let's give guys who have experience for this team, let's see if they can come in and give us some stability, being your third and fourth or fourth and fifth pitcher in the rotation, having those guys there, to me, is not the end of the world. So I actually kind of like it. Yes, they definitely could have done better, but I also think they could have done worse. So I don't mind these signings for St. Louis. But I am intrigued to see how it shakes out, especially being a Brewers fan in the division. I'm intrigued to see, you know, kind of what goes on with that. For me, I probably would have said the same thing outside of the Dodgers, and we already talked about the Dodgers. But Glasnow and Yamamoto are both intriguing. Glasnow with his injury issues and Yamamoto coming over to the States from Japan. I am not a Yamamoto guy. I am not on board with this. I don't think he's going to have the success that people think he's going to have. They expect him to kind of be, some people expect him to kind of be an Ohtani type pitcher. It's just not what he is. I mean, I've seen him as, you know, what, a fifth round, maybe even sixth round fantasy draft pick. He's just not going to be that electric guy and have the same stuff that Ohtani has.
And I agree with that 100%, but I can guarantee you, someone is going to take him, and they're going to take him too high, in my opinion.
Hmm.
And so, like I said,
I agree.
They're going to have to live with that if they do that. And if he was there in the fifth round, I think that would be something, because he's got the potential now to be one of those guys. But I don't think there's any chance he'll be there in that in that space. Somebody's going to take him second or third round.
Oof.
And that's a little hoo-ha. You know, like I said, second and third round, you're talking to guys like Zach Gallen and guys like that. I'm going to take them every single time over somebody like Yamamoto because they've got high floors and high ceilings. You know what they're going to give to you. So I would do that in a heartbeat. And let me just say, because you mentioned Miles Mikolas, you know who gave up the most hits in all of baseball last year? That would be Mr. Miles Mikolas.
Yeah, so he was bad.
So, you know, experience, I'm all down with the experience unless the experience is bad.
It's a bad experience.
Yeah. So, fair enough. It's going to be, if I'm the Brewers hitters, I'd be sitting there and I'd be
excited.
Way anticipating hitting off these guys during the regular season.
Yeah, Jackson Chourio is lining up already to hit against St. Louis. All right, so here's another pitcher that I was out on until he got moved to Atlanta. Chris Sale. I was out on Chris Sale, and there's just something about Atlanta that makes me go, you know what? I think I'm back in. Not like high draft pick in, but I'm really intrigued about Sale in Atlanta this year. How do you feel that bodes for both the team and for Chris?
Well, I think that, if you're in a lifeboat, the water is coming up a little bit, so the boat is rising. So I certainly like him a lot better in that Atlanta team than on Boston because Atlanta knows how to handle their pitchers. I would still be just a little on the cautious side because – you know, he pitches for a little bit and then goes right back on the IL. So I'm a little cautious with that, but I'm certainly less cautious than I was a month ago before they did that trade. And so Atlanta gives him some appeal, and you definitely want to sit there and check what his ADP is and see if that's something you want to try.
Yeah, I mean, it's in a rotation with Strider, who we'll get to next week when we do our pitching rankings. Max Fried, Charlie Morton, and Bryce Elder. He's kind of protected in that rotation, and he has not been protected in Boston at all.
He's been expected to go out there as a number one guy on Boston, and that has not worked.
Let's transition now to hitters. Really, outside of Juan Soto going to New York, I don't really feel like there's any major news. I thought the Yimer Candelario signing by Cincinnati was intriguing. I like the Von Grissom move to Boston. I think that he has an opportunity there to showcase his untapped potential to this point. And then outside of that, though, I mean, there's just not a lot to love so far, and there's not a lot of great free agents out there either. Outside of Bellinger, I like Matt Chapman in the right situation still as well. Rhys Hoskins, who was injured, but when he comes back, there's just not a lot of big names sitting out there. So Soto seems to be the big move getting traded to the Yankees.
And so, you talk about pitchers, and the pitcher that the Padres got for Soto, Michael King is a guy that you'd certainly want to take a look at.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to do well down there in San Diego. And so, but you're right. You know, hitters that we're talking about, like Hunter Renfro, let's not get too excited over that. I'm just looking over here.
Garrett Hampson and Kansas City.
You know, and Mitch Garver, which I like him.
Right. Okay.
Going to Seattle, but Luke Rayleigh, Mitch Haniger, these are the kind of guys that we're talking about, and it's way too early to be jumping for joy over any of these dudes. And so,
hey, let me say this, Kev, though. I love what the Yankees did, not only with Soto, but Trent Grisham comes over with them, and I am a massive Trent Grisham fan. And yes, he has devalued over time, but he's still actually relatively young. And a solid defensive outfielder. And if he can find his bat again, he's going to be a great piece for New York. And they bring in Alex Verdugo, which again, 3 years ago, you would have said, wow. But now, not as much. But you put him in a change of scenery. Soto, Grisham, and Verdugo. That's a pretty decent offseason for the Yankees.
The only thing that concerns me about Soto to the Yankees, and everybody's all like Aaron Judge in center field is a great move, but that's asking a lot from a guy as big as he is. And
is he going to be the everyday? He's not going to be the everyday center fielder, is he?
I would have, yeah. So you know, defensively, that screams like you said, Grisham. He is a pure center fielder, but you're not going to take Aaron Judge out of your lineup. So I don't know how that's going to exactly fit in New York.
So I think Stanton's the odd guy out here. Yeah, I think Judge is going to do more DHing personally. And I think Stanton's the guy that's the odd man out that gets left behind here. And I mean, you don't have to have Grisham out there every day. He doesn't need to be an everyday guy right now. And but he's only 27. It feels like Trent Grisham has been in the league for 13 years. Yeah. He's so young.
Yeah. There's still a lot there. Some meat on that bone, if you will, at 27.
Yeah. And you talk about right now, the way that it's lining up is, you can have Oswaldo Cabrera and Oswald Perez as bench guys for the Yankees. And now that depends. Last year, DJ LeMahieu was kind of in and out different places. Gleyber Torres, you know. So, I mean, maybe they take over these spots. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I think the Yankees are set up right now to have a solid season. Gerrit Cole, Carlos Rodon, Marcus Stroman, Clark Schmidt and Nestor Cortez are their projected rotation guys. And they actually have depth for the first time in a really long time, bringing in Grisham and Verdugo and Soto, of course, as well. So I don't know. This might be the year the Yankees show back up again.
They might. And I certainly won't jump for joy over those pitchers that you just named. But they are all a step up to me over Luis Severino,
right,
who went to the Mets, which boggles me to no end. I don't know what in the world the Mets are seeing in him. He just won't stay healthy.
Right.
And so the Yankees, they've got depth. They've got some pitching. I'd rather, you know, pretty much stick my head in the microwave than speak, you know, nice about the Yankees. But you have to like some of the things that they've done over there. Tampa, yeah, as you said, and I say, take a step back. So they're going to be right there with Baltimore and Toronto trying to win that AL East. And they've disappointed, of course, the Yankees in recent years. But you better look out for them this year.
Yeah, they've disappointed Yankees fans, but no one else over the last several years.
No one else. Certainly not anybody in this house.
Yeah, we'll continue to talk about these moves as we get throughout the year, get into our rankings next week even, and things like that. But a reminder, today's Call to the Pen segment is presented by RighteousFelon.com. Use the code STOVE15 at checkout to get 15% off your purchase. Now is the time to join the flavor revolution, RighteousFelon.com. Let's break into our final segment of episode one of the 2024 season with our fantasy focus. All right, for our fantasy focus today, it's presented, by the way, by BellyUpFantasySports.com, your one-stop shop for all things fantasy. And it's a place you can always find Kevin Wilson's articles, BellyUpFantasySports.com. We want to use this segment today to talk about prospects that will have some fantasy value in the 2024 season. I'm going to read you the top 10 prospects to watch according to Fantasy Pros. This year, they've got at one Jackson Chourio from Milwaukee, at two Ellie De La Cruz from Cincinnati, who of course came up last year. Three is Jordan Walker from St. Louis. Four is Jordan Lawler from Arizona. James Wood from Washington comes in at five. Drew Jones at Arizona is next. Grayson Rodriguez from Baltimore, a pitcher, the only pitcher on this list. Jackson Holliday from Baltimore is eight. Marcelo Mayer from Boston is nine. And Andrew Painter from Philadelphia comes in at 10. These are all guys that we could see. Ellie De La Cruz, Jordan Walker, of course, we've already seen. But then you got these guys like Drew Jones, whose dad played. Jackson Holiday, whose dad played. I think somebody else, Lawler's dad, I think, played also. James Wood's dad may have played. Anyways, though, you got these prospects and others as well. I'll let you start, though, who you think is fantasy relevant as a prospect this year.
Okay, so I'm surprised that on that list that you named, that number one to me is Jackson Holiday of the Baltimore Orioles. And every other place other than Fantasy Pros has him ranked as the number one prospect in baseball. I did not consider Ellie De La Cruz as a prospect. He has played a half a year in the majors, so he is no longer a prospect. So, and Yamamoto, I did not consider him a prospect either. Right. And so Jackson Holiday, right, in 125 games, 323, 1275. And this is what I really like about him, 101 walks versus 118 strikeouts. So, and he also had 24 stolen bases in the minor leagues. He plays second. He plays short. And so I think he's Baltimore's next superstar. And they know what to do with their young guys over there. And you are the one, Vince, that number one, identifying prospects. You've done it the last couple of years. You've been ahead of the curve. So do you think that Holiday belongs at the top of the list?
I think he belongs towards the top of the list. I think that Chirios is number one for me because of the opportunity that he's going to get. I think he is more guaranteed to get that opportunity from the get-go of the season versus Jackson Holiday. But I think when Holiday comes up, the pressure that's going to be on this kid is going to be huge. But he's got a chance to watch Gunnar Henderson do it in front of him, Adley Rutschman do it in front of him, and Jordan Westberg do it in front of him. So there's that, and Baltimore's done great with these young guys. You know, Holiday is projected right now to be the starting shortstop for Baltimore, which is interesting, I think, also. And you put him in that lineup with Henderson, Rutschman, Santander, O'Hearn, Hayes, Mullins, Mountcastle, Westberg. Like, it's a really good team. But I think Holiday probably starts lower in that batting order than Chirio. If Chirio comes up and starts the year, I think he's going to get just more opportunity than Holiday will, at least at the beginning of the season. So I put them neck and neck, honestly. I think they're both right there towards the top, and I would not argue with anyone who puts Jackson Holiday number one on any prospect list. But those Arizona guys, you know, Drew Holiday is a really intriguing prospect. We have seen him as a high schooler, a lot of publicity on him as a high schooler, but they've also got guys that they're going to have to find space for their young guys. Whereas Baltimore has space, Milwaukee has space as well. By the end of the season, we may talk more about the Arizona guys than we do about the other guys. But I think as far as season whole goes, Holiday and Chirio are the two guys you're looking at.
The only thing that concerns me about Chirio, unlike Holiday I just mentioned, 43 walks against 104 strikeouts. And so I like to see a little bit more balance than that, but he's only 19 years old.
Yeah.
So you got to give him a little, little leeway on that. And, but as far as being to seems to me as being the complete hitter, Holiday is the more complete guy there. And so, that's why I have him at number one. I have, Chirio at two. Paul Skeens from Pittsburgh. If we're just talking, you know, prospects. He was the number one overall pick a year ago, so he's got no fantasy relevance this year at all. But if we're talking about pros, you got to like him. So then I go Dylan Cruz, Wyatt Langford, Evan Carter. Okay, and I was absolutely wrong about him a year ago because I thought that he was going to come up when they had injuries, as soon as the Texas Rangers were whole, they were going to turn right around and send him back to the minors. That's not what happened, of course. And he just hit and hit and hit and hit and hit. And so he's an exciting player. And even though they're the World Series champions, they got a place for him to play. So I like him a lot. And Andrew Painter, Kyle Harrison, here's my Giants. I'll throw you.
Yeah.
Okay. Junior Caminero, Tampa. So they do have players still over there in Tampa. But so those are my top 10.
Now, Vaughn Grissom's not a prospect, but he's still one of those young, really young guys who had all this expectation last year. Like they said, he's going to win the starting job. He lost out to it to Orlando Arcia and can never claim it at any point in the year. He makes the move to Boston, projected to be their starting second baseman. How do you feel about Vaughn Grissom and how he lines up and now with a change of scenery?
Sometimes change of scenery helps, but he's not one of those guys. When you talk about change of scenery, it's usually because of older guys. If you're a young guy, that it didn't matter, it shouldn't matter what scenery you have. If you get the opportunity, you have to take advantage of it. So I think there's opportunity for him, but he's going to have to show me something before I'm going to dive head first into, the Vaughn Grissom pool. Because as you mentioned, he had every opportunity to win that starting job and did not do so. And that was a superior offensive lineup he would have been a part of in Atlanta and didn't do it. So that's a caution to me.
Yeah. San Diego's got some guys that are going to have some opportunity as well. Robbie Snelling, Braden Nett, with the moves that San Diego's made this year, that's going to create some open room and a possibility of, opportunity there in San Diego for sure. But yeah, I think prospect wise, I think the two guys at the top being Cheerio and Holiday, is that right? Holiday? Yep. Yeah. Those are the guys at the beginning of the year that you can look at and go, okay, I got an opportunity with these guys to go out and get some value fantasy wise. The other guys are guys you put the little flag on. If you're on ESPN, you can flag them and keep them on a little watch list.
That would be,
and pay attention.
That would be great, Vince, if ESPN had a fantasy app that you could actually get on, because it's been under maintenance for about 5 days now.
Yeah, every year, man.
Yeah, and when it was available, and that was part of my article, where they have Julio Rodriguez ranked in their outfield was absolutely absurd to me. I don't know what in the world they're talking about over there. Maybe they'll rethink that when the rankings and when they put their app together, whenever that is. But I saw that and I was like, no. So we'll see what happens when they actually fire up that app, and we'll go from there.
All right, so next Sunday we come back, 8 o'clock Eastern time, and we're going to start off our rankings. We're going to start off with starting pitchers. In the past, we've always started with catcher. I said we're going to shake it up a little bit this year. So we're going to start with starting pitchers, and we're going to do it a little different this year too. We're going to give you tiers this year, and then we'll give you late-round values, overpriced players, guys that we're not going to go after because we think that people will draft them too high. Might give you some mid to late round stuff or some busts to a degree as well. But we'll get to starting pitchers next week and get the rankings rolling out. Before too long, we'll get our draft set as well. And last year, Chase won not sure that he's going to be back with us this year. But we will get the league filled out, and we're going to do a head-to-head points league as we've done in the years past, and we'll kind of use that as our meter throughout the year as well and keep you up to date on how we're doing. Kevin is a regular season monster, and that's the nicest thing I'll say about Kevin today. We will not bring up his postseason.
Yeah, we don't need to get into that.
But he's always there in the end. That's what matters. That's what matters the most. But we'll give you advice throughout the year, of course, as well. And looking forward to what's ahead in this year. So a couple things to remind you of before we go, though. First of all, bellyupfantasysports.com, an important website. You need to go check it out if you've not been there yet for fantasy on all the sports, football, hockey, basketball, baseball. It's all there at bellyupfantasysports.com. Righteousfelon.com is where you get your jerky and join the flavor revolution. Use code STOW15 at checkout. SeatGeek's where you get your tickets. SeatGeek.com. Use the code BellyUpSports for $20 off your first purchase. All right, Kevin. First of all, you find him at Twitter, at Kevin62, WILSEA. What's on the docket from Kevin Wilson here in the coming days?
Well, in the coming days, I'm doing whatever it strikes my brain to write about, if you will. But as I mentioned, there's a fantasy baseball article already on the Belly Up Fantasy website. And you can get a little early taste about who, because I identify who I think is the number one fantasy starting pitcher and may not be the guy that most people are thinking about. And so that's on there. And also, though, so I took a look ahead at fantasy baseball, but I took a look back about fantasy football. I identify my my fantasy MVP, who was my most disappointing fantasy player, who my fantasy rookie was, and who I thought was the most improved from game one till the end of the fantasy season, who was my most improved player. So those are all available on the the Belly Up Fantasy website. And so get over there. And also the Belly Up regular side, as Mr. Eric Katz has been writing baseball stories almost nonstop since the season ended.
Yeah.
And so you'll definitely want to get over there and check him out, because he has been long with the pen and he loves baseball. So you definitely want to get over there and check him out.
Yeah, and we'll have Eric on the show sometime in the coming weeks to talk with us about baseball. He has been incredibly busy writing about baseball and good stuff too. Great, great content there from Eric at bellyupsports.com. So my show is, I got three shows a week now. Sunday night is here, the Fantasy Baseball Show. Monday night is the local hour covering Eastern Kentucky University sports. Tomorrow night we're talking with the closer from EKU Baseball. Will be on the show, Joe Clancy, and then have not confirmed, but the plan is one of the girls from the girls basketball team on the show as well tomorrow night. And like I said, last Monday, we talked with head coach Chris Prothro from EKU Baseball, worth a listen as well. Last year, their catcher got drafted by the Braves maybe. I forget who he got drafted by. I have to look that back up again. And then the year before that, they had a pitcher drafted by the Yankees. So things going on at EKU. Wednesday night, me and my dad talk all things sports, a heavy emphasis on football right now and the playoffs and things like that. And, of course, we'll get it heavy into baseball throughout baseball season as well. And then I want to encourage people to go over to bellyupsports.com. This season, I will be writing a semi-regular diary of a revived NASCAR fan. I have jumped back into NASCAR racing after an 8-year hiatus. And so I'm writing about it, how I got back into the sport. And I've only dropped one article so far on it. And then the next one comes out probably next week. And it'll be talking about picking a new favorite driver, because all the guys that were around 8 years ago are pretty much gone. So I'll go through that. And then throughout the season, I'll be recapping and previewing races as well. And covering that on the Wednesday Sports Stove podcast also. So there you go. There's that. My Twitter and Instagram is at Sports Stove.
Might mention also that this past week I was a part of the Belly Up Super Show, which involved the NFL playoffs. Which, because I moved that Buffalo game, there's still two games to play tomorrow.
Yeah.
So before those games start, you might want to get up. If you have not done so, get over there and check it out, because we all laid it out there on the line who we thought was going to win these games. So you can check out and see how accurate we are. And if you want to do that, the podcast, I would imagine it's on probably both the Belly Up Sports and Belly Up Fantasy Sports side. You can catch that.
Yeah, it's definitely on Belly Up YouTube, Belly Up Sports YouTube page. And there's a lot of content coming out on Belly Up Sports YouTube, bellyupsports.com, bellyupfantasysports.com as well. Stay tuned. There's a ton of stuff coming out. I'll be hosting a NASCAR Super Show in February. We'll be doing a baseball Super Show right before the season starts as well. There's going to be plenty of football, Super Bowl Super Shows, draft Super Shows, all kinds of stuff going on. Now's the time to get subscribed to Belly Up Sports YouTube That's page. Right. So that
you
way you don't miss
it. Yet, you need to come on board.
Yeah, do it
now. Do it right now. Do it now.
All right. So next Sunday, me and Kevin will be back. We'll be talking starting pitchers and the rankings and any other Major League Baseball news that breaks between now and then as well. And very possibly have our first guest of the season next week as well. So plenty to look forward to this program. If you tuned in tonight, if you're watching on YouTube, if you could throw us a thumbs up, we would really appreciate it. It helps the algorithms and of course, a subscription was great. Subscribe to us, share us, all that good stuff as well. If you're listening on the audio version, Apple, Spotify, or wherever, if you wouldn't mind leaving us a 5-star review, we would really appreciate it. Don't tell the people in your league about the show because you want all the best knowledge, but tell everybody else that's not in your league about the program as well and share it with them. We would also appreciate that. Kevin, any closing thoughts before we head out?
Nope. I'm jazzed, as I mentioned, way at the top. So I'm really jazzed. Not even knowing exactly where we're going to head yet. We know we have an outline. We know what we're going to be talking about, but I have no clue as I sit here who my tiers are other than the top two guys. After that, we've got some things to talk about, and I'm really looking forward to getting into that.
I love it, man. Kevin Wilson, Vince Stover will be here every Sunday except for Super Bowl Sunday, and we'll be here right alongside of Righteous Felon Jerky and Seat Geek and Belly Up Fantasy Sports as well. Thank you so much for tuning in to episode one of the 2024 season of the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show. Until next time, we'll see you around the Sports Stove.